The night was quiet until we got a call that three men were beating a homeless person to death. Dispatch called two patrol units along with EMS, and when the first deputy got there, they phoned me as the investigator on call. I went to the scene, pulling up just as the ambulance was driving away. The three assailants were in the back of two patrol cars, and when I checked with Deputy Marin, he told me they'd still been attacking the poor guy when he pulled up. Not even the lights and sirens slowed them down. It wasn't until the first one was hit with a stun gun that the other two glanced around and then stepped away from the man laying on the ground between them. Marin looked at me warily, his eyes watering slightly as he shook his head. Oh, yeah. They were just beating him, Jess. They were cutting on him, too. Damn, this thing had... He swallowed and wiped his mouth as he glanced over to the patch of blood on the asphalt nearby. Just don't be surprised if this turns into a murder case, yeah? I nodded, frowning. What did EMS say when they got here? Was he still alive? Marin rubbed his eyes. Yeah, he's alive. Stable, even, but just barely. I could tell they were rushing to slow the bleeding until they could get him to the hospital. Just hope he can hang on long enough to make it. He looked back up toward the patrol cars. What do you want to do with these three pieces of shit? Shrugging, I glanced around. Place them under arrest, read the Miranda, then get something to bring them all to the station so I can do interviews. Make sure you and Dave check for anyone that might have seen something. I gestured across the street at the squad houses that's slowly moldering there. Canvas the neighborhood, check for any cameras in the area. He nodded and was about to head off when I stopped him. Did any of them say anything? Any idea why they did it? Marin gave a bitter laugh. One of them said something to Dave. Told them they didn't have a choice. Shook his head. Mean, crazy bastard said they had to do it. Informal interview summary 1. James Buckner. I began my interview with the subject in interview room 2. Age 18, he was the youngest of the three suspects. Buckner had not only graduated high school as valedictorian, but had also started college a year early. In the fall, he'd be a sophomore at the state university. He appeared clean and well-groomed, other than the dirt and blood that seemed attributed to the attack on the other man that evening. When I entered the room, he looked up nervously, and his obvious anxiety didn't lessen as I sat down and started pulling out paperwork. Still, he listened as I went through Miranda again, and when I asked him if he understood the rights and would waive them to talk to me, he agreed without hesitation. I asked the initial questions you always ask. Name, address, occupation, that kind of thing. And then I started into the meat of it with a very general question. So, tell me what happened tonight. His hands were trembling as he looked across the table at me with wet eyes. Is that guy gonna die? Keeping my expression neutral, I shrugged. It's too early to say, I think. I'm sure they're doing everything they can to help him, though. When we get done, I'll check with the hospital to see how he's doing. I leaned forward slightly. For now, though, I need you to tell me what happened tonight. Everything. Be honest, and don't leave anything out. It's the best way to help yourself at this point. A tear rolled down his cheek as he nodded slightly. I'll tell you what I know, but I don't know that much. I'd come home from the weekend from school to see my girlfriend. She lives not far from where it happened. But I wanted to surprise her, so I parked a block away and was going to walk over and go up to the back door. He shuddered as he went on. But I don't think I ever made it. I was walking through this empty lot. I've used it as a cut through to her house before, and someone spoke to me. I think maybe it was that guy, but I don't know for sure. What did he say to you? Did he say something that made you mad? Buckner's eyes widened. No, no, nothing like that. I think he asked if I'd help him. Help him how? He began crying more freely now. I don't know. The next thing I remember, we were beating him, cutting up on him. I could see myself doing it, but I couldn't make myself stop. It was like I was dreaming and couldn't wake up. Lowering his head into his hands, he went on. Then the cop came up. He told us to stop, but we didn't. I couldn't, like I said. And then he shocked me and everything went fuzzy for a second. The next thing I remember, I was in handcuffs, being put in the back of the cop's car. Had you ever met the man you were attacking before? He shook his head from beneath his palms. No, not that I know of. And I don't know why I did it, why any of us did it. Do you know either of the two men with you? No, I recognized Mr. Lincoln from the grocery store up through. That's mainly the picture they have up front of him. The other guy, I have no idea at all. When did you first see them? He let out a half sob. When we were hurting that guy. I looked up and saw them hurting that man the same as I was, hurting him but looking at each other and at me, looking like I felt. And how's that? How did they look? How did you feel? When he looked up again, his eyes were red-rimmed and raw. Like we were trapped in a nightmare and we couldn't stop. Informal interview summary 2. Gary Lincoln. Gary Lincoln is a 55-year-old man who's lived in town for the past 20 years. For the last 14, he's been the manager of one of the large supermarkets in town. A check of his criminal history shows no arrests, and his driver's record is clear other than a speeding ticket 2 years ago. I know him from around town, and as far as I know, he has a reputation for being a jolly, honest guy whose biggest vice is that he talks too much if he runs into you. Sitting in the harsh fluorescent light interview of room 3, he didn't look jolly. Covered in another man's blood and his own sweat, he looked more like a caged animal when he glanced up at me and said nothing as I entered. Going over to the table, I sat down and watched him quietly just for a moment before starting into his rights. When I got to the point of asking him if he was willing to talk to me, he just stared. Look, if you don't want to talk to me, that's fine, but this is your chance to tell your side of what happened. If you don't answer, I'll take that as a no and leave you alone. Grimacing, he rubbed a thick hand across his cheek and snorted. What difference does it make? I'm fucked, aren't I? I don't know that. But again, if you want to talk, you have to make clear to me that you understand your rights and are will... Yeah, I understand them. I'll sign the waiver, whatever. His eyes narrowed. But don't think you can fucking trick me. I'm doing this because I'm innocent. I slid the waiver over and watched him sign it. No one is trying to trick you, but we don't understand what happened tonight or why, so tell me what you remember, okay? He glowered at me silently for several seconds. I'd rather talk to Bill Murphy about this. No offense, little lady, but I don't know you well. My smile felt thin and brittle. Well, I'm the lead investigator on this case, and you don't get to pick who interviews you. So you want to talk, or are you wasting my time? Lankin let out a sigh and shrugged. No, that's fine. You need to understand that I didn't do this. Or maybe I did, but I wasn't in control. Someone must have drugged me or something. Me and the other guys too, I guess. I've known Terry for years. He's not a bad guy. Young kid, I've seen in the store, but I don't really know. His mouth was slack and his eyes drifted away. But who would do this kind of thing? Especially in our town. He brought his gaze back to mine. I know I wouldn't. Not unless someone had drugged me or something. I nodded. We're going to be getting blood from you all as soon as we're done talking. You can consent to the draw, or I can get a search warrant. Maybe there is something in your system, or there was, but you feel clear enough to talk to me now. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Good. Then tell me what you remember. I was in the store, finishing closing down for the night. We lock the doors at 9, do the final register checks, and then the place is empty until the stalkers come in at 5 the next morning. I was the last one left, and I was walking to the back to leave myself when I saw someone down one of the aisles. It was aisle 4. Soup and other canned goods. Who was it? I didn't know at the time. I didn't recognize him. He had on a sweatshirt with the hood up and... Look, the last few years we get homeless people coming in sometimes, right? Usually it's fine, but once or twice before they've tried to stay in past closing. I figured that's what this is. I called out to him, telling him the store was closed and I needed to walk him out. He trailed off as he began to tremble. What happened next? Lankin lowered his eyes to his hands as he went on. I think he turned toward me. I don't know. The next thing I remember, I was hitting and cutting him in the street like those other guys. He started to reach forward, then stopped himself at my hard stare. I felt my phone buzz in my jacket. I swear, we were looking at each other while we were attacking him. None of us wanted to do it. It was like we had to. As crazy as that sounds. Pulling out my phone, I saw I had a text with 3 pictures from Marin. The victim is stable at the hospital. These are some initial pics the deputy there took before they bandaged up his wounds. The pictures were of different parts of the man's body. A leg, his chest, and an arm. All 3 were swollen and starting to bruise, but I barely noticed. All I could see were the symbols that had been carved into his flesh. Red, precise slashes across his mottled skin, crisscrossing in a way that looked purposeful and meaningful. Though I had no idea what the purpose or meaning might be. So I held up my phone to Lankin. Did you do this? His eyes widened as I flipped between the 3 photos. I don't know. I don't see how, but I know I cut him. We all did. Snorting, I shook my head as I stuck my phone closer to his face. That doesn't look like some random cuts to me, or that someone that wasn't looking at what they were doing. What did these symbols mean? Leaning back in his chair, his lower lip began to quiver. I don't know. I swear I don't. Maybe the other ones did that, but if that's from me, it was an accident. Turning my phone back to me when it buzzed again, I reread the new message from Martin twice. Done at the scene. Heading to the hospital now. The roadie there is now saying the victim is disfigured. Like not from the attack, but his head isn't normal or something. I think the kid's just confused. And I saw the guy at the scene. He was dirty and fucked up, but his head was the least hurt part of him, and it didn't look weird. I looked back up at Lankin. Did you know this guy you attacked? The man shook his head, his expression miserable. So your story is that you see this stranger in your store. You tell him he needs to go. Next thing you know, you and these 2 other guys are out on the street 5 miles from the store, kicking the shit out of this guy while you cut these clearly intricate symbols into him, all the while not even really looking at what you're doing. Yeah, I mean, because you're all looking at each other, right? Not even paying attention to what you're doing. These people that you didn't plan this with, you're all just magically attacking this guy and carving the same kinds of things all over him. Is that what you're saying? It sounds crazy, but I know. It sounds like bullshit. I puffed out of breath. Mr. Lankin, are you and these 3 other gentlemen in some kind of cult or something? His face flushed. What are you crazy? Of course not. Leaning forward, I glared at him. Well, that makes more sense than what you're saying. So do you want to try again, or are you sticking with this? Sniffling, he's wrapped his arms around his stomach. I think I want my lawyer now. Informal Interview Summary 3, Terrence Wells. As I opened the door to interview room 1, someone started to scream. It was a high, sharp sound that made me wince and cover my ears even as I tried to see into the room through watering slits. Wells wasn't at the table, but was instead sitting against the wall with his back to me. Screaming had to be coming from him, though I didn't know how he could make a sound like that. I tried to yell over the noise as I stepped closer to tell him that I was there to help. That's when his hand appeared, red and slick with blood, as he flung something against the far wall. I followed the trajectory of it, and I saw the small mound of meat on the floor where it had slid down the cinder block like a gory slug. It was Terry's tongue. Marin, I'm bringing Terry Wells to the ER. Crazy bastard just ripped out his own tongue. We got his mouth packed with gauze, but I don't want to wait for an ambulance. You already there? There was a crackle over the radio, and then I heard Marin's voice through the static. Yeah, I'm here, Jess. I don't know if you should bring him here. Maybe carry him over to the uni hospital instead. What? That's twice as far. Why? They lost the guy. The victim. My hand tightened on the steering wheel. What do you mean, lost him? He died? There was another crackle then. No, I mean, he's gone. No one knows where, and that's not all. What do you mean? I talked to one of the ER doctors before we knew he was missing. Rhodey was right, even though it didn't make sense. They said the guy was severely disfigured, something they haven't ever seen before. Disfigured how? Diprosopus or something? Said it was like when a twin doesn't get absorbed all the way. I don't know, but Jess, this fucker, they say he's got 3 mouths. Marin was waiting with 2 nurses when I pulled up to the ER, and 5 minutes later, Wells was in the back being treated while Marin told me there was still no sign of the victim, though there were 2 more deputies coming to help search the area. Shaking my head, I tried to think of anything else we could do short of calling the state of police for help. What about the road deputy? Rob, wasn't it? Sure he didn't see anything? He was supposed to be watching him. Shaking his head slowly, Marin didn't meet my eyes when he spoke. He's a dumb kid. Says he didn't see or hear anything, and when we found out the guy had ghosted, he looked like he was going to throw up. I told him to chill out and go look around the parking lot for him. More so, he didn't yak and hear or get in the way. I raised an eyebrow. How long's he been out there? I didn't see him when I pulled up. Marin paled slightly. Shit. It's probably been 20 minutes. He hit his mic. 715, what's your 20? When he didn't hear anything back, he tried again before calling dispatch. They hadn't heard from the roadie either and couldn't raise him on the radio. He shook his head. What the fuck is going on around? He broke off as one of the ER doctors came to the waiting area. I'm sorry, but your prisoner didn't make it. I stared at him with disbelief. What do you mean? He was bleeding a decent bit, but we'd slowed it down before I brought him. The woman shrugged. I'm sure you did your best, and it wasn't the blood loss that killed him anyway. We think he had a massive heart attack, though. We'll have to wait for the post-mortem to be sure. I went to say more when mine and Marin's phones started buzzing at the same time. Meeting each other's eyes, we answered the calls. It was the office. Buckner and Lincoln were both found dead in their adjacent holding cells. Lincoln's right arm was bloody, but it was easy to understand why. He'd have to shove his fat forearm between the bars far enough to get leverage, and the effort cost him most of the skin there. Buckner was thinner, so it was easier for him. In the end, though, it came to the same thing for both of them. Because somehow, within the span of less than an hour since I'd left them, they'd ripped out each other's tongues. My hands were tight and shaky on the wheel as I drove the empty moonlit path back to the office. It was past 2 a.m. now, but I wasn't sleepy or even tired. There was too much to do. I needed to call the sheriff, Vegas conference or not, and I needed to get someone to the state police down there. We still needed to locate the victim and find out. I slammed on brakes as a figure appeared in the road before me. It was him, the victim. He was still wearing a hospital gown and had bandages taped all over his body, but it was his head framed in the yellow glow of my headlights that I couldn't look away from. Marin was wrong. The man, he didn't have just 3 mouths. He had 3 faces, near enough to it. Spread across a lumpy pallet of flesh were 4 eyes, 3 noses, and 3 sets of crooked lips, all almost perfectly articulated, except at their edges, which ran together and apart like melted wax. I felt a combination of sympathy and horror looking at him. How had he survived like that? And how could he make it so far out there on his own? Stepping out of the car, I called out to him.
Sir, I'm here to help you. I'm Investigator Jesse East with the Sheriff's Office, okay? I need you to get back to the hospital.
The man had seemed oblivious to me before, but now he was staring right at me, all 3 of his mouths discordantly working in unison. At first, I heard nothing. But then I realized I was hearing him speak, though I wasn't sure where the sound was coming from.
I need your help.
I nodded, trying not to let my growing fear and discomfort show. I didn't understand what was going on, but I still needed to do my job and get him back to the hospital. That's what I'm here for. Can you make it to the car?
No. I need you to hear me sing. Your flesh will become the door.
He wasn't really talking. It was in my head. No, I was being stupid. Freaked out because, well, reason enough to be freaked out, but no time for it.
Sir, I don't understand what you...
My words faded as a sound rose from the figure before me. Not one sound, but 3. 3 voices, all singing different parts of a song in harmony. I doubled over as my vision began to swim. My chest and stomach felt like they were on fire. What was this? That song, I didn't understand the words, but it was so beautiful, so wonderful and terrible at the same time. What was it? It is one of the names of my God. The voice thundered across my brain, never interrupting the singing of the 3 mouths in front of me. It calls to him across the dark, even as it calls to you to serve his purpose. I was on my knees now, barely able to think. This was all happening. The song, the spreading agony across my body, the feeling of pressure building to the point that I felt ready to explode. This thing in front of me was trying to bring something here.
Oh, yes. You will see. You will serve him even after death. You will serve him.
The man's body shook with what might have been laughter, making the hospital gown flutter in a passing night breeze. I had to try and... No, I had to not think. It was in my head already. I had to not think, just act, but it hurt so much, and now he was ripping off the bandages, and I could clearly see the symbols in the headlights, bleeding tar like a dozen small fountains as he sang and sang into the black sky, and I can feel him. He is nearly here. Oh, God, I had to do something, but it hurt so much, and I couldn't let him see. I just let go. You'll be the beginning of a new age. The thing's head snapped back as the first bullet struck it.
I didn't think or hesitate, but just kept firing into its head until the singing began to trail off and then stopped altogether. It toppled over, and I quickly crawled closer and emptied my remaining rounds into its chest. It took me 2 hours to get rid of the body. I drug it out to the woods past a nearby cow pasture and dug a deep hole before dousing it with fuel from my gas can. Only after the body had gone out did I cover it with several feet of earth and leaves. Maybe later I would have to find a better spot, but for now this would have to do. I got back to the office as the sun was coming up, and Marin was there, waiting with a worried expression. Where have you been? I've been calling. Struggling, I walked past him without meeting his eyes. Sorry, I was looking for the victim. No luck. When he touched my arm, I glanced up and saw him frowning at me. You smell like gas and gunpowder. And if you got dirt under your nails. You okay? Swallowing, I nodded. Yeah, I'm just real tired, you know? Marin studied me for a minute before nodding. Me too. Maybe we should just stop looking at this John Doe, yeah? What do you think? I gave him a smile I didn't feel. Yeah, I think that'd be for the best. I'm what you would call a crypto addict. Before that, though, I was someone who enjoyed browsing the deep web. I wasn't really looking for anything in particular, just curious as to whether or not the stories I'd heard were true. I'd never really found anything creepy, though, but it was my first encounter with Bitcoin. A few sites used it, and it was the first time I'd ever heard of the cryptocurrency. As such, though, I thought it was a scam or something shady at that point. This was back in the years 2012, 2014, so you can imagine I'm really kicking myself for thinking that and not buying a few coins. My interest in the deep web was waned over time, but around the year 2017, I began reading about cryptocurrency and that oh-so-shady Bitcoin on mainstream news outlets. That's when I made a deeper dive into the world of crypto. My goal at the beginning was just to earn enough money to pay off my student loans. Of course, nothing was ever that easy. I'd made nearly every single mistake you could while buying crypto. Once I lost my seed phrase. I've sent crypto to the wrong wallet by mistake. I've FOMO'd and sold at loss countless times. Twice, I've been fooled by pump and dump schemes. Despite all of this, my net monetary change from buying into crypto has still been positive overall. That's mainly because I wisened up over the years and made back the money I lost and then some. Of course, every time I hear about a random coin going up 20 times in price, I do wish I would have seen the opportunity. But I know most of these coins probably don't have much value or long-term prospects. I invest in safe projects, but of course, like almost anyone else, I've been on the lookout for the next big thing. You know, the next big project that's going to the moon, so to speak. I got an old email from an acquaintance of mine, Frank. Frank and I went back to the days when I scoured the deep web, and the two of us would often exchange information regarding anything interesting that we found. I hadn't gotten a message from him in 2 years, though, so I was kind of surprised. Hey, I know it's been a while, but I saw this weird thing, and I think you'd want to check it out. I see from your profile that you've been in the crypto space for a while, right? What do you think about this? It's a site claiming to have made a new kind of coin. There's a link to a website. At first, I was really confused. The website was on the deep web, but according to this mail, it was regarding a new crypto coin? That made no sense. When you made a new coin, one of the first things you wanted to do was get as many people in on the project as possible, making all information about your new coin exclusive to the deep web as a guarantee that it would probably never take off. Then again, maybe we were making some sort of super secure coin which the government couldn't trace, so they kept it on the down low. Regardless, I decided to check out the link. The website was honestly nothing to write home about. It was decently organized, but was rather plain. It looked like a webpage from 2007. This was definitely the wrong thing to do if you wanted people to be interested in what you were doing or convincing them that you had a great new idea for something. There wasn't even too much information on the site about the coin itself, with most of it linking to a video they had made. There was a form, but accessible only to members. Guessing there was nowhere else to go, I went ahead and clicked on the video. It showed a dark room, with a desk right in the middle. Someone walked in wearing a white mask and a dark hoodie. As he spoke, his voice was distorted, so he was clearly using a filter of some sort. "Greetings. Thank you for your interest in our new project, one by which we hope to revolutionize the very concept of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. I've long since been a member of the crypto space, but I consider myself to be an environmentalist first." You must have already heard about the environmental impact that mining cryptocurrency has. Many people have spoken about that. As such, we wanted to look for a way to solve this problem. A solution quickly came to me, but it was a bit of an unorthodox one. You see, I am a man of many interests, and the occult was one of them. One thing I'd always been told was that spirits, demons, what have you, they always know everything going on in the world. They don't follow the normal laws of physics, either. It was at this point I began frowning. What on earth was this? Was this guy really talking about ghosts and spirits in a crypto video? I thought that it might be possible to use this to our advantage. You see, a spirit can theoretically solve a problem in an instant. Time works different for them, and the best part is the environmental impact is nil. I was about ready to turn it off at this point. What kept me going was a mild curiosity regarding where this guy was going. This had to be some sort of scam, right? But what was the scam? Was he going to ask for a donation first? Was he just trying to install malware on my computer? I mean, he must have made this video for a reason, right? I just wanted to know what the scam was so I could tell Frank what it was. I searched around in many books on the occult until I came upon them. They do have a name, but not one that you can speak freely in this tongue. Suffice it to say that certain supernatural creatures are willing to help us and mine our coin for us. Now, of course, you must be thinking that such a thing isn't worth your soul. Rest assured, though, that these creatures don't want our souls, simply our bodies. I told them that in case, they should buy us all a round of drinks first. He chuckled at his own joke. Anyway, the idea is simple. You, as a human, can rent out your body for a small portion of the day. In exchange, these creatures will mine coins for you. That's right. I managed to connect with the spirit realm, with the internet, so that they can mine cryptocurrency for us. Right now, we're starting out with mining Bitcoin by this method to test it out, but release our own project very soon. I can say that I'm quite excited by the potential of our upcoming coin, as it will be minded only by these entities. All information will be held not only on the internet, but within the spirit realm as well. So even if every database on Earth was wiped clean, we could recover the data. For now, though, we're just seeing how easy it is to mine Bitcoin using this method. If you're interested in renting out yourself, you can go ahead and sign the contract given on our site. If you're interested in simply buying some of our own coins with our new project, we'll be released by conventional methods. Please stay tuned for further updates. Thank you. the video ended at that, and I was left confused. Making this all would have taken some cash and some time, so was it all really just a hoax? How were they planning on making money out of this? With no further information available, I checked out their forms, but that was only open to people who had signed their contract for now. I took a look at this contract. It was needlessly long and annoyed me, because I knew there was no way that a site like this could ever take anyone to court if the contract was violated, so what was the point? The gist of the whole thing was that you would agree to rent out your body for a time ranging from 1 to 10 hours a day. In exchange, you would get a set amount of Bitcoin per day, with it increasing depending on how long you rented yourself out. Let's say you go for X amount an hour, and then you'd get 20 times X for 10 hours. Clearly, it was designed for people to choose the maximum amount of time possible. Frustrated, I put down my selection as 1 hour and hit accept. The message popped up. The contract will be valid for 1 year and cannot be canceled before then. Are you sure you want to accept? I scoffed at the idea of them trying to enforce this contract and hit the accept button. A congratulatory message popped up, as well as an address to a wallet I could unlock. Disappointed, I browsed the site a bit more and saw nothing to explain what it really was. I could only chalk this up to a very elaborate hoax. The next day, I went about my day as usual, when something odd happened as I left my driveway. I found myself in my office an instant later. If I'd been paying a bit more attention at the time, I would have noticed that I'd lost exactly 1 hour. But I wasn't. I'd zoned out while driving to work occasionally, but not when I was entering the building. I chalked it up to just me having a long daydream, though. Things didn't worry me. Not yet, at least. Something similar happened the next day, though. I had some trouble noticing this as it happened when I was chilling around at home. I thought I just lost track of time as the sky suddenly became darker. The third day, though, it happened at work. I was in a meeting, and then it was over and I was at my desk. On one hand, I was happy to be able to skip that meeting, but also I knew I was losing my mind. The MRIs all came back normal, and the doctors thought I had dissociative identity disorder when, a month later, I found myself in my house with some jewelry I had no recollection of getting. I learned the next day that one of my neighbors had been mugged, but didn't know who it was. That day, I suddenly found myself in a park with a shard of glass on my shoulder. I learned that someone had smashed another neighbor's car. Fed up with this, I installed cameras around the house to watch me, and that night I saw myself leave the house and come back later with some cash. Cash I must have stolen. Yeah, I learned someone's house had been broken into the day after that. I finally put two and two together and went back to the website. I hadn't checked my wallet, but it had a substantial amount of Bitcoin now. Clearly, this hadn't been a hoax. They wouldn't be paying me if they weren't getting something out of it. Whatever entity chose to inhabit my body started out by just mimicking what I normally did, but it was clear it was getting more and more daring with the theft and vandalism I was doing. I read up that long contract again, and I saw no termination clause. Can't exactly communicate with this thing that takes control of me, and even if I could, I have a feeling that it doesn't want to leave. Forum posts on that site are of no help, as a few people seem to be in the same boat as me, but have no idea what to do. The site doesn't have customer service section, no surprise. Based on what I've read in the contract, the entity can't hurt me or my property or do a crime that would lead to me being arrested or the such. But it can do crime as long as it makes sure that I'm not caught later on. Anyway, I highly doubt it wants me to be arrested. It would not have as much fun as when I'm free to roam around. In the end, though, I realized that I couldn't live like this. There was nothing else to do but wait for my contract to expire, so I've moved to a very remote area where there are few people around.
I'm glad for that, so that thing can't harm anyone else. I've even had to give my dog away to my parents for the time being. I don't know if she'd count as my property, but I don't want that thing hurting her one day. I read on a forum post on that site of someone who found themselves with blood on their hands after a blackout, and that they were freaking out while wondering whose it was. It's obviously much worse for those who rented out their bodies for several hours. I guess I should be thankful I only agreed to an hour. I've quit my job, and I only go out to town to get the supplies when the hour is up. Thought about maybe tying myself up so I can't get out, but I'd still need to do things like go to the bathroom, and that sounds like a terrible way to live. It's been 3 months total, and there are 9 left. The coins I keep getting are enough to pay my living expenses, thankfully. I might have had to rent myself out for longer if that wasn't the case. I'm writing this because I was curious if there's a lawyer among you who might be willing to read over the contract I agreed to. If every contract has a loophole, I'd be happy if you could find one in this one. I can't go to a regular attorney, of course, given no one would believe me. I mean, where would I even go to dispute this? But if there's someone among you who's experienced with dealing with supernatural contracts, do please contact me. If possible, I'd also prefer if you could accept payments in Bitcoin.